Warning, this podcast is not for the civilized, gentrified public. If you got a weak stomach or can't handle vulgarity and just all around shenanigans, this is not the podcast for you. This is what happens when you get a bunch of guys around the camp trying to kill time. Unfiltered, unregulated. Shenanigans.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that'll work.
Cool.
You always right. Turn it up, so, you know.
You boys ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe I should move over there in the shade.
Like, we're ready. Hold on, let me get my shorts on. You ready now?
Shorts
hold
off.
On. Let me get this on.
Let's officially start it. Here we go. Welcome to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters, coming to you straight from Blacktail Camp in California.
Woo-hoo!
We got Charles wearing and his fucking chonies.
I'm going to move downwind to you so you don't smell my balls.
Sitting here in his underwear and a t-shirt and drinking a beer in camp. Love it. And we have Zach Harrell. He came as my cameraman, end up being my guide. Because I can't seem to freaking kill one, so.
And camp wench.
Yeah, camp wench, yes.
At least for the last two nights. Made wonderful some sausage that John can't eat, because John can't eat anything.
Yeah, I can't. I'm allergic to freaking everything. What do you want from my life? Unfortunately. Try being me. That's all I gotta say. Listen, you should know me by now, after how many years, that.
Well, I think complex. This is the first time we've actually lived together.
This is true.
So.
This is true.
I had a taste of it a little bit last year because I was in the hotel a couple of years and a couple of days.
Yeah.
And you were telling me, you know, some of your, things from your. Did you ever tell that story, the tick spray poisoning story?
I don't know if I ever have on the podcast, but I know I've told it.
So I remember you told me
a times.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, it's probably been 8 or 9 years ago. And consequently, they don't make this product anymore. They took it off the market because FDA took it off the market because of me. No,
it almost turned you into a zombie.
I was scouting. It was summertime in New York. And I'm like, I'm going to go and just scout around. I'm going to be back here in October to hunt deer. And I'm going to go check some public land by a park that I like to hunt.
What state?
New York.
Okay.
That was in Long Island.
Yeah.
So, and in Long Island, like, one in every six people has Lyme disease. It's, like, rampant over there. So, I'm like, I'm going to freaking just go to town with this tick spray because I'm like, I don't want to get, any ticks on me.
Yeah.
What, did you, like, try and inhale it?
Nah, I was snorting it. No. I didn't read it.
Anal insertion, I think.
Yeah, it was a suppository. Yeah. No, you're supposed to put it on your. It's Dacron, is what the chemical is. I can't take this podcast serious. I got Zach over here cutting his freaking toenails.
This is all serious, and they're my toenail clippers.
Oh man,
bleach them when you're done.
Seriously, look at those freaking snaggle toes.
They're not. What are you talking about?
They're kind of like little baby toes.
Oh,
they're actually, tiny, huh?
Except for the big one. Like, if you cut out that weird big-looking thing,
that's
the rest of the toes are like a four-year-old's toes. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, he's a little guy. Huh? Petite.
My
stout,
boots,
but petite.
My boots are women's boots.
Are they really?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
These La Sportivas, like, I usually wear like a 7.5 or a 7 in men's. And the La Sportiva was just way too big.
Seven. I haven't worn a 7 since I was probably in fifth
grade. Let's get back to you.
No, this is good. I just bought my son, who turned 12, size 7 basketball shoes.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. He can take your hand-me-downs.
Sweet. Anyway, so going back to the story. I sprayed my legs, like
I was wearing shorts, and I was like, fuck, it's too hot to wear pants. I just sprayed my legs, and I sprayed my arms, and, you know, I just sprayed everywhere.
Basically, like, putting on mosquito spray.
Yeah, like mosquito spray, like, everywhere. And I'm about halfway into my, well, not halfway, about half an hour into my hike, and I start feeling this, I start tasting a metallic taste in my mouth, and thank God I'm, like, smart enough to fucking realize.
That's not right.
I'm like, dude, I immediately knew. I freaking poisoned myself. That's sure sign of poisoning, you know? Metallic taste in the mouth. Race back to the car, grab the bottle, and I start reading. Do not apply directly on skin. I'm like, what a freaking idiot.
So
back to the house.
Okay.
You know, take multiple showers. This is the kind of stuff that you put on your clothes and it's supposed to stay through like 6 or 7 washes.
So
you know?
It's like the stuff that
we're
using.
It's like the stuff we use, like the Sawyer pyrethrin or whatever.
And we're not going to die from that. I'm always wondering about
You're
that.
Not supposed to put that on your skin either.
No, I know that.
That's like, but like I, when I apply it, I wear gloves. I put my ventilator on that I used to, I swear to God, because if you're putting it on outside and the wind gusts and you breathe it in, it can really screw you up.
I completely. I'm just picturing you like.
Oh, dude, yeah, you gotta see me. I look like I'm.
What's
the? I'm laying fiberglass.
What's the meth show?
Yeah, I look Breaking Bad. Yeah,
you're just Breaking Bad out there, and people are like, "What is this guy doing?" Nah, he's just spraying his clothes for ticks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, but.
Anyway, so
yeah, finish that. But I have a question.
Yeah, so I called poison control. They told me whatever to do, and I did it, and then I was okay. Like, I mean, I had a metallic taste in my mouth, no joke, for about 4 months.
Wow.
Like, no matter what I drank, I taste like it was just horrible. I literally had to chew gum like 24/7 because it was terrible. But after that, all these allergies started popping out, and I lost a bunch of hair. Like, I had super thick hair. I mean, of course, I'm quite a bit older now. It's 9 years ago, and I'm in my 40s, so I'm sure some of that has to do with stress and getting old too. But immediately after, I lost a shit ton of hair, and it never grew back. It thinned out everywhere. It was like a complete. Now it's crazy. Now it's just migrating from my head to my back.
So that's why you have a lot of these ailments and stuff. Yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah,
that's
the old, before that, only thing I was allergic to was dust mites, like almost everybody is, and garlic.
Yeah. Garlic.
Garlic's been around for
a
while.
Which apparently is in everything. Garlic, I think, is in 98% of all foods.
Nah, man, it's not that bad. But especially a lot of the processed shit, there's garlic in it because they put garlic in there to mask the fact that it tastes like shit.
Yeah.
And they need to make it taste better, so they throw garlic in it.
For sure. So, okay, so that's Sawyer permethrin, which I've been using that for a long time. I know you have too.
Yeah.
But I always wonder, like, I don't want to get Lyme's disease, but I also don't want to get cancer. Like, how is that in your clothes?
Yeah, and not.
And it repels ticks, but we don't have to worry about it on us, like, we're sweating
bullshit.
And through.
It's bullshit. Despite as much as we've been sweating, like, on this trip, having to wring out our freaking clothes, I guarantee you it's getting into our skin somehow, some way.
So we're dying faster than we normally were already.
I would guarantee it. Yep.
There's got to be some stuff. They can't just sell
it. What's the lesser of two evils?
I don't know.
Because
ticks don't like me regardless. Like, as a rule, I've never, they just, I'm not a person that ticks like.
See?
I
wouldn't say that I am either, but I've been very cautious for many, many, many years. Because growing up on Long Island, it's like always in the back here. Back of your head. Oh, yeah.
What?
He just signaled the butthole.
I saw that and I'm like, I don't know what that means. What do we do right now? This is what was
just talking about the story that I told a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
How my cousin Paul
did have a tick on you once.
Had a fish one out of my ass.
Asshole. Not just the ass.
Yeah, just the ass.
Not quite the asshole, but yeah, pretty close. It was touching brown. It was touching the brown star for sure.
Right in the Lilburn. There's different names for that. One of them's Lilburn.
Yeah, that was a Texas Taint. Tick. Those Texas ticks like their assholes, apparently. Hence why they went on me to begin with. It's got to be effective. My cousin Paul's a naturopath, and
we got to be able to look that
he
up.
He said there that has that to be particular one It's pyrethrin is the actual permethrin.
Permethrin
is the I don't know what the word of brand of Sawyer, but the actual chemical is pyrethrin.
Okay.
And that is the least, has the least effect on humans out of all the.
I'm gonna have to look this up.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty diehard about it. I mean, I don't even see ticks on my clothes.
Yeah.
I would see ticks on my clothes every once in a while. I haven't seen one in 3 years.
Oh, I know. That's why I use it all the time. So, like, what's the lesser of two evils? Is, I mean, slowly kill yourself or get Lyme's disease and become a cripple. My uncle in New York, he got a tick underneath his watch band. He was bird hunting in Jersey.
Look, checking mine now. Yeah. Just because.
Yeah.
And makes you feel weird.
Got Lyme's disease and he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, it can.
He's in a freaking wheelchair.
It can make. It's not Lyme, but there's a tick that can make you allergic to meat. Eating meat.
Yeah.
Have you read about that?
I've heard about
it. Last few years, that's been coming up. Imagine that.
Crazy.
Oh, can't eat red meat anymore.
Done.
That'd be a little odd.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
That would be worse than being allergic to garlic.
I wish all these I wish all these meat bees that are flying all over us would get allergic to meat and freaking get the hell out of here. So
actually, I've heard that, what is it, from meat bees, if you get, that's one way that people get a transfer, you know, a disease from them, because they go and eat an animal or whatever,
right?
And they can sting you or something, and they can actually transfer from whatever animal to you.
Oh, fantastic!
From that as well. Doesn't that make you feel awesome? They don't sting you though,
dude. I mean, we've little been engulfed with them for the last 6 days.
Yeah,
and I haven't had one. I mean, I've had them land on me, but
I mean, I know a couple people that have been stung by them, but I've never been stung by them. Cleaning out animals here, I've done that a lot, hanging from that tree, and they're just. You're doing this, you know, you're in the skinning process, your arm, your hand's going up and down, and you're just hitting bees.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But never got stung. Drives you nuts. Like, you're worried. I'm more worried about one if my mouth is open, just going in my mouth or something. Or if you're drinking a beer, you know?
Well, like, mentally, when all the bees are flying around, you're just thinking, I'm going to get stung.
Yeah.
It's just, you see all the bees, because it's not just one or two. There's, like, a couple hundred.
No, they're airborne piranhas.
Yeah.
They
as
are.
As soon as you, I don't know what they're doing at night. I don't know where they go. I've never.
The twilight.
And then.
Zone. Is there like hive? I mean, I don't know.
All of a sudden you.
They probably live in a tree.
You put garbage out or have a steak or something. And all of a sudden they're just like. Zoom.
Dude.
Right on you.
What's his name? Put that chicken out. That kid that was here the first 2 days camping. Put that chicken out. And by the time we got back 4 hours from the afternoon. Hunt, for the evening
gone.
Hunt, it was completely gone.
Except for the bone, obviously.
It was down to the. I would
serious?
Wager to say
that
if you had meat bees and used them instead of beetles for your.
That's weird. That's what.
That's
yeah,
that's our idea, man. Don't God.
Is that secret?
Damn.
Secret? Yeah. Sorry. I was like four people that listen to my podcast anyway, so don't worry
You're
about
so
it.
Bullshit.
Nobody's going to give a shit.
That's actually a really good idea, though.
I don't know. I mean, beetles can live. I don't know if these
is
guys.
Bad.
Yeah, how do you capture?
You have
them
to make like an atrium or something for them. I don't know.
Well, that's kind of my
like,
friend Kerwin.
Like a greenhouse.
My friend Kerwin has a giant. I don't
my
even know what the call a giant box that, you know, has a top with hydraulic lifts arms on it or whatever, and he lifts the thing up and he has red lights and stuff going on
uh-huh.
to keep it. Humid and warm.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
That's disgusting.
But it's big enough to throw a buffalo in there.
Oh, shit.
Because he does so much taxidermy. And they're just in there. You can hear them just
yeah.
eating, oh, eating,
nasty.
Eating.
It's
the grossest thing I've
sick.
Ever
And it smells like
smelled
God
mostly.
Out,
it's the smell.
God awful.
He can't smell it anymore.
That's terrible.
Like, dude. And all
yeah,
of his, like
it.
His clothes and everything just smell like it.
Ugh.
My buddy Cole, he does that in Tucson. And oh my God, this smells rotten. I couldn't do it. My wife would she'd kill me.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you could buy another house to do this in.
Yeah. No, he does it at his house too. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't happen. So we're getting close to the end of this trip. I got this afternoon and tomorrow morning left to make it happen.
Kind of.
Have we explained what we're doing? Have we?
No. Yeah, we're blacktail hunting.
You said blacktail camp.
I said blacktail camp. We're blacktail hunting slash pig hunting now because now everything's on the menu.
It's kind of like brown, it's down.
Brown is down, black is down, brown is down, whatever.
Any color.
Yeah, fur.
Yep.
Fur of any kind. I was thinking about shooting a squirrel yesterday. Yeah, it's been eventful. It's been an eventful hunt. I can't complain. Had a lot of action. I don't think people understand. Like, I think this hunt makes me feel like an amateur, and I somehow every time I come here, I manage to make a bunch of rookie mistakes and rookie like moves. I don't know what it is about it. I think at this point it's now because I want it so bad that, like, I get in my own head. I don't know.
That the walls are just closing in. Yeah.
Well, I mean.
You know, what do you mean though when you say you don't think people understand? They don't understand how difficult the hunt itself is, or what?
Yeah. Like I it is a difficult hunt, but then you know, of course, there's always that outlier. A guy shows up and, you know, drives down the road and kills a buck.
I'll tell you what I'm surprised about, because it's my first time here.
Okay, yeah, good. This is a good perspective.
Like,
right here.
What I'm surprised about is how loud everything is.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling people.
The grass is all dead. The leaves that have fallen off the tree are obviously all dead, and they're everywhere. You know, it's not like, other than the road that has been plowed in there, it's everywhere.
Yeah, there's nothing quiet about it.
There's nothing quiet about it. So. You know,
yes, madrone tree leaves, it's the manzanita.
Yeah, it's nuts. So from my perspective, that's what I see. That and it being 107 degrees, those two coupling together are what I see as the biggest challenge. It's not finding the animals.
No, I've been on, and everybody that has followed me, because I feel like I got a little following for this hunt. Like every year there's people just like rooting for me. And I'm sure there's the opposite. Just people are just rooting against me too. Ah, that fucker. I've killed a blacktail and he still has it, you know, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. But this is what I tell people when they ask me a blacktail. I mean, blacktail, the deer itself, they're not that much more. I mean, they are a little bit more skittish than a regular mule deer. They don't have that let me bounce out and look back at you thing that mule deer do. They're a little bit more like a whitetail. You know, as far as behavior is concerned, they're a little bit more like a whitetail. But here's the hunt difference. It's freaking July. It's 109 today.
109 is real. That's a real, yeah. We're not making that up.
You wake up at 4 a.m. You can't camp up on top of the mountain. Okay, where we're hunting.
So, not allowed to. Like, it's not allowed that we to. Can't. Yeah. You could go up there and camp. Yeah, but we're not allowed to.
So every morning you got a 1,500 foot climb in. Okay. And you wake up at 4, like I said. You hike in for freaking an hour and change. And then the madrone leaves, the grass. The everything is super loud. It's like Rice Krispies and potato chips everywhere you go. And then it gets balls hot.
Hotter than Satan's balls. Straight up.
And then you go back to camp, or, you know, you might want to hunt throughout the day, but to find them, because everything's just, the trees are thick and lush. I mean, we find them bedded.
And the dead grass is also what? 2.5-3 feet tall.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they're smaller than a mule deer.
I feel like it's just the conditions and the fact that you only get like 5 hours of sleep every night. You know.
Well, yeah. So
it doesn't get dark till 9:15. You don't get back to camp till 10:30.
Yeah, because we're going out till it gets hotter than Satan's balls. About 10, we come back and we eat and recoup and try not to just die because. Then it's 107, 109, and then we go back out at 6:30, and then we get back to camp at 10:30, 11, and then cook dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Go to sleep, try to go to sleep by 12:30, yeah. And we're up again at 4.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just like a culmination of everything not in your favor. That's, and it's not like, you know, people are like, oh, well, you know, super hot, super dry, hunt water. There's springs everywhere.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of water. There's a lot of creeks still with water in them.
We're running,
and
you know, it's just
a lot
like,
of spring.
Yeah. So water's not really an option. It's my first trip here, and John and I found two or three new springs that Charles hadn't heard of yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my first trip here.
Yeah,
I don't know. The water is deceiving. It's everywhere and nowhere all at the same time.
Yeah.
Everything's dead.
There's no destination water.
Yeah, yeah.
There isn't a central pond, and then that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't hunt something. Like, that's what you normally find in the desert, right, or in Arizona.
I see
a lot of guys, they'll just hunt. Like, here's your water source for the next few miles. Something like that.
Right. There's water, and then there's no water for 2 miles radius.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you know that deer eventually to go. They might not go for 3-4 days. You might sit there for not see shit for 3-4 days.
They have to go.
But if you sit in Arizona, if you got the conditions like we have right now where it's just dry, it hasn't rained in a couple weeks,
right,
whatever, if you have these conditions, if you sit water, in 7 days, you're going to see a deer that you're going to shoot. Or you're going to have an opportunity to shoot anyway.
And it's the same way in Wyoming, except for obviously more on the antelope side. But I mean, it gets so dry with no springs out there that there's actually man-made ponds, you know, at the end of several ravines that'll catch all the rain while it's in the rainy season. And then they basically just hope that those ponds hold water while their livestock and all that other stuff is out there. So if you sit over something like that, it's the exact same thing. You sit there for a 7-day period, you're going to see something that you can shoot. Mm. You know, it's not like they're able to go other places. They're not.
Right.
You know, here, and that's what's so hard about here.
They
can go someplace else and get water.
Yeah, and we're hunting a private ranch. And some would say, oh, well, that's awesome. You got private land. But the lease is through a...
It's a co-op is a good way to put it.
There's guys filtering in and out of here every day.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been here the whole time. Guys come here, hunt 2 days, and they leave because they realize.
Some less.
Yeah. 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 Like this guy hunted this morning and left because
he yelled at me.
For 29 minutes, exactly.
Yeah. Because his panties got
caught. He might come back, though. I don't know.
Well, I hope he doesn't.
Yeah,
actually, you know what? If he does come back, I'm going to.
Yelling.
I'm going to freaking give him a piece of my freaking mind.
Thank God John was asleep.
He's going to get all...
Oh, I wasn't. Right. I heard the whole thing, man.
Oh, really?
I was boiling. I was boiling because I was going to come out there and stick up for my little friend. Because he wasn't taking...
I don't even know what you're talking about, man. I'm like, what sign are you talking about? And I can just see, like, out of the corner of my eye, John, like, Steve.
Just a little backstory.
Yeah. So, for the listeners.
For the listeners. Some guy came in to the ranch this morning and saw there's a sign that says foot access only, and that foot access really doesn't start until about a mile and a half back in.
It's an old, the way the ranches are, all of them, is you can't drive them when there's wet conditions. There's no wet conditions
right, so somebody forgot to
right
turn
now,
the sign around and,
yeah,
and he was accusing
me,
Zach, of turning that sign around so that he wouldn't drive his truck back to the starting point that everybody else was. So anyway,
when in fact it was actually the ranch manager
that
turned it around.
Exactly. That's the ranch manager.
I think the only wet conditions right now are Zach's butt crack.
Yeah.
So no driving there.
Soupy.
Yeah. Bad. Because it's hotter than Satan's butt.
Oh, Jesus.
So that happened.
So you've had some mishaps on this hunt.
Gosh, we want to talk about that?
Yeah, no.
I'm going to destroy...
We've all have, yes.
I'm going to destroy some brands. No.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Kill them. Do it.
It's not about that. I would imagine that you can find the best of anything, and I would be able to figure out its
weakness.
It's chink in the armor. It's kink. What's it say?
Chink. You had it right. You had it right.
Okay. And...
Don't go with kink.
Yeah. You should have did that in your English voice.
Stay with chink.
Not chink. It's kink.
It is not kink.
No, you're right. It's chink.
It's chink.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I've had some mishaps. I always do. I really, honestly, I always do. But anyways,
The first one.
The first one was
Hogzilla.
A fantastic self-filming experience, and
isn't it fun?
Came out pretty good. Yeah, I was super close into some pigs, and there was a. I did not show up here to shoot a pig. However,
bird in
when
hand.
There was a trophy boar, at the time this was my rule. When there's a trophy boar, I'm gonna take a trophy boar because to me that's kind of like getting a buck as well. They're not easy to get. Anyways, long story short on that, I had probably a 35, 40 yard shot. I'm using a Rage Hypodermic 100 grain broadhead, which was really intended for deer. We'll get to that later. But I usually use a fixed blade and a kind of a different arrow setup
for hogs.
If I know I'm gonna hunt hogs. And this particular boar, I think this is the one I've heard about here. I've probably seen him a couple times, but there's some lore going around about this guy, about his size, and he's got some chompers. John and I have both seen them very close.
Very close.
I mean, with his mouth closed.
25
they're
yards.
Sticking out 3 inches with his mouth closed. So anyways, I shoot him, and I'm thinking, perfect, awesome. I just got an awesome, you know, trophy boar. I walk up to it, and I was showing Zach earlier, it penetrated as far as the broadhead, and that's it. And the arrow was just laying there. And I just went, well, okay, that's done. I'm not going after that guy. So, zero penetration. I'm shooting a 400 and, I don't know, what is it, 25 grain?
No way. What am, we figured,
what am I at?
448.
Four something, 440 okay. something, yeah.
So, but with an expandable, now bear in mind, this boar has a formidable shield, okay? I'm guessing I hit part of that. I can't tell. Anyways, that didn't go well. The next day, almost in the exact same spot, I come over a little knoll, and there's a buck feeding there at 49 yards. And when I'm pulling back, the buck notices me, but he's still standing there. He's just looking at me. I shoot, and it sounded like I hit it. It sounded like if you were to hit a, if you were to shoot at a, I don't know, at a log with a blunt tip or with no tip at all. It had sort of a vibrate, like a tang, like a twang. Kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
thing,
yeah.
Right. And I was like, man, what the heck was that? I hit the deer. I saw it hit the deer. Then I heard the deer walking and I'm listening for it to start stumbling or something or whatever, you know, it wasn't, didn't really run off too fast or anything. And then I see it walk away. Looks back at me and walks away. I'm like, man, that's not good. Let me go over there and see what's going on. And my arrow's just laying there. It's not stuck in the ground, just laying there. And the broadhead is missing. It's the shaft broke at the broadhead shaft broke at the end of the arrow.
The threads were still screwed in.
The threads were still screwed in.
Yeah, right. So it snapped the broadhead right off at the arrow.
Yeah, yep. No blood on the arrow, nothing at all. So, yeah, I mean, that was my first two opportunities were fantastic, you know, opportunities.
Shit.
I got shots on both animals that I wanted to take. And then since then, it's been, we can get to that. John and I were trying to pull a double.
Yeah.
That didn't work out. I had a shot today, which I was trying to thread the needle and I just didn't, you know. I haven't had a good shot since. I haven't had like a, you know,
right,
a shot like that where I had.
I haven't on a deer had a good shot.
Yeah,
not one. They've all been either really insanely long or just like you had today, threading it through God knows what.
Yeah. So normally I'm shooting a fixed blade, and that's mainly just because I hunt in Idaho and I have to shoot a fixed blade. So I just figured out
right
do that year round, right? This is a new bow because I'm, you know, do the stuff with West Coast Archery and Bowtech, so you get a new bow every year and all that. So I haven't tuned the, you know, the bow to a fixed blade yet. So shooting a Rage Hypodermic. Now, I've killed a lot of animals with expandables and with Rage, with mixed success, but I've had mixed success with everything.
Yeah.
I'm not excited. I kind of understand it on that boar. Because when you get a really, really big boar, that's a whole different ball game. It's kind of like probably shooting a buffalo or I don't know. Yeah. Shooting a tougher skinned animal. It's not a deer. It's not a, you know, whatever.
They got the shield and
Those shields can be 2 inches thick and that's just a it's like cartilage and fat. I mean it's armor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not good for an expandable.
No, especially not that expandable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with it breaking off.
Yeah, there's man, that had to be some like a faulty something wrong with it.
So when I called West Coast Archery Shop, I'm like, hey, I'm having some issues, you know, what do you guys think? They said Rage has actually admitted to some lines that they put out, you know, some production lines or whatever where there was some bad something going on or whatever. And that's not the first time they've seen that.
That's rough.
Where that's happened right there. So it is rough. I mean, you know, it'd be for me, this is the beginning of my blacktail season. I can hunt here until September.
Yeah.
So I can keep coming back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
not but so much.
It stinks to put an arrow, I'm not gonna say in something, but on something. I touched it. I've touched two things with my arrows.
Three, really, today.
Well, that's true.
I guess sideways.
Sideways touch, yeah, that's true. It
you might
stinks
want to clear
to,
that up. They'll yeah. be talking, you need a paper tune.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, it stinks to do that because it takes so much time and so much effort and, you know, sleepless nights or whatever nights. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah.
This is not easy hunting at all.
You don't want to wound stuff.
To get those opportunities and then to have something like that happen where you did kind of your part, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've been shooting. I took fourth place in an archery contest against over 100 other guys like a month and a half ago. I've been shooting a lot,
right?
You know, so it's not that. And anyways, that's just the way. But stuff like that always happens to me. I have to do things 10 times before I get it right. It's just the way everything works with me. But yeah, since then, I mean, I've had other opportunities on bucks and pigs.
Yeah, we almost doubled up.
Yeah, that was...
We snuck in. We had what?
That was something else.
30 yards.
I mean, I think
we're both looking at each other.
I think we got the 25, and they were like, let's go to 15.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
And
we kept trying to get closer to make better film, because we were just using GoPros.
But then we couldn't really communicate. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking, I'm like, all right, how are we going to do this? We don't... How are we going to do a 1-2-3 shoot or something? They were so close.
The silent count off.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that...
it just didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Honestly, I'm glad we didn't.
Because those
in the
sounds,
end,
right?
I'm glad we didn't take any of those pigs. Those were kind of small. And
I wanted to shoot the little piglet.
Yeah.
All I could think about was getting that little thing back to camp and...
rotisserie?
Yeah, starting to put it on the 1967 Coleman over there.
That... You didn't work, and then now it works again somehow, magically.
Weirdest thing ever.
I like
that. Like, I knew those pigs were close when I was watching John, and I was watching Charles, and then I see a pig head pop up, and the pig head is bigger than John, but on the other side of John, like bigger than his legs, and I was like, they're pretty close.
Oh, we were hella close. Oh, you know the worst part about it was? I didn't find out until two nights later that I didn't even have an SD card in that freaking...
Oh, that's right. My GoPro was on.
Yeah, yours was on. Mine.
That's right.
Mine was on. The power was on, but it wasn't recording anything.
So then the big boar that I did hit you know, we saw him the next night.
Yep.
You and I did.
That's right.
And he was totally fine.
Yep.
Wagging his tail.
And John and his awesome skills. Like, you know, what I can't understand is that
came in right to us.
I literally shoot coyotes on the freaking run, like without ranging, without, I mean, like this, like instinctively, this boar is coming right to us, drops down into that little like cut right there in front of us.
Yep.
And I ranged them up at 47 right before he hit that little cut.
Before he sort of disappeared for a few seconds, yeah.
And I thought he was coming straight out.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. It looked like he was coming straight out. So I'm intentively looking straight ahead of me. and no boar. And all of a sudden, I look to my left, and he's popped out 25 yards to my left.
Just standing there.
Just standing there. And like what I should have did, and what ran through my head is, as soon as he dropped down into that little cut, just draw it back, John. Because when he pops out, wherever he pops out, you're going to shoot him.
Yeah.
Right? No. I said to myself, oh, what if I need to... I think your story about hitting him in the in the shield and kind of like, yeah. I really wanted to have a real perfect shot.
I was thinking that too. I was like, I wonder if I kind of messed him up because this guy, and that was the same boar too.
It literally,
tusks, yeah, freaking it was the
same
blazing.
Boar. Same boar. Like I literally didn't want to screw it up.
Yep.
I'm like, I want to rearrange him when he comes out. I want to, you know. So he pops out and now he's staring and stopped and he's looking at me and I go to draw. And as soon as I go to draw, he just busted. And I was like, you got to be shitting me. I didn't even have time to range him, but I ranged after, and it was 25 yards. And that's what I said in my head, 25 yards.
Well, and then you also knew how big it was, too.
Yeah.
After, I mean, because like I told these guys, I've never really pig hunted, but Charles quantified it. He's like, that's like the equivalent of 135 or 140-inch blacktail. Like, that's how big that boar is. And I just was like, alrighty, now I'm understanding. So I'm sure all that was running through your head. You're just like, wow.
Boars are kind of characterized by, and people, they look at pigs and they don't, sometimes they just
weight
say
tusks.
They just say it's a pig, like whatever. But if you get an old boar, it's got battle, this guy had split ears, everything, battle scars and all that, those guys are not easy to kill. Generally they're by themselves, except for when they want to breed, but that's another reason why they can get kind of harder. They're just the solitary creatures that are constantly moving and moving and moving. They're hard to catch up with, you know, they don't move at all in the daytime. But when you got a boar that's got like 3+ inches on tusks,
yeah, and on a closed mouth,
on enclosed mouth, yeah. You just don't find that a lot.
No,
you know,
yeah, he was a big guy.
Come on, boys.
Hey,
good, how's it going?
Oh, fuck, man, about to have a heat stroke.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hot.
You ready to get back out there?
Mm.
I don't know, huh?
Right now.
I'm David.
I'm Charles.
Good to meet you.
Yep.
Oh, we didn't actually meet earlier, John.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen you online. Do you do...
Yeah, we're actually doing a podcast right now. Why don't you join us?
Oh, I'm not interrupting, am I?
It's all right. You're not, it's not an interruption. You're good, man.
Okay.
Come sit down.
Sit down. We're actually telling stories. You can share with us what... Go ahead and sit right there.
I appreciate it.
I think we got another... You got a chair right there.
Oh, yeah, there's a chair, too. So, yeah, we were just telling, actually, some of the stories that we've encountered this week.
Yeah.
And, so last night, was that last night? Yes, last night. Yeah. Or the night before. No, it was the night before. I decided I was going to shoot a pig. We were way up high. I was way up high already. No, actually, I wasn't. I was way down low, and you spotted him way up high.
Hey, John, I got some pigs for you. Where are they? I told him, shit.
Literally at the very, 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 very back top of the ranch.
And now you came out here for deer.
I did. I came out here for deer. And actually, this is the first year that I actually bought a hog or a pig tag because I usually don't want to even mess with the pigs because
the first 2 days we were here, we saw 40 pigs.
Right, exactly. We've seen so many. Like the first night.
You might want to go get one.
I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. I'll get it.
So now that change of mind was the wear and tear of the last 2 days. Yeah. Chasing blacktail.
So I get up there and I sneak in perfect, like just textbook perfect. And there's a blacktail up above him too. Blacktail has no clue I'm there either. And when he finally does,
he slips into the picture after about half hour into this whole pig stalk.
Pigs, and I'm like, ding, 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 winner.
Yeah,
there's
bonus round. That's what you said. You were like, bonus round. Yeah.
There's a blacktail buck with them.
Like 50 yards away.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
He walked through the pigs.
Yeah.
Through them.
Yeah.
So I slip in and I'm like, I get to 50 yards on this, on the boar. There's a boar, two sows and two piglets. And I slip into 50 yards and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to shoot this. I'm like, I have to go through these pigs. Well, the route that I took, I would have had to go through the pigs to get to the blacktail. So I said, screw it. Bird in the hand, I'm going for the blacktail. Mm-hmm. Or excuse me, going for the pigs. And then, so he comes up on this little knoll in front of me and I broadside, I'm like, screw it, I'm just gonna shoot. Whack. It's a pass through. Doesn't squeal, doesn't do anything. And I remember you telling me, oh, that when it don't squeal, it usually means they make a good shot, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, I could see he was kind of hunched up and like walking slow. He wasn't running. He wasn't doing a death run. He was walking slow. I was like, fuck, I just gut shot this thing. And, but he started going uphill and he's like, uh-uh, I ain't doing uphill. He turned around and started coming back downhill towards me. And he came across me at like 45 yards and I didn't even range him. I just drew back. I was like, I'm going to put another arrow in him. And it seemed like it was kind of a quartering away shot, but maybe, I don't know. I keep trying to replay it in my mind's eye because I can't replay it on my GoPro because this is how I figured out that I didn't have damn SD card in there.
That's right.
Better than what happened to me 2 weeks ago. I shot a pig, Eddie Gar shot, beautiful. GoPro was pointing towards the sun. So I look at it an hour later. And
it's a film of the clouds.
And I said, okay, I'll just shoot a pig if I get some good footage.
Right. This is what the clouds look like when you shoot a pig.
Exactly.
You just hear my bow.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, jeez.
Anyway, so you put another one through him?
I put another one in him, and that one hit, and I heard it smack. And because it was on the hillside, I could tell the arrow hit the dirt on the other side.
Yeah.
And it got stuck. He was skewered from, you know, front to back. Squealed, just squealing the whole way, and just does this death run. And I'm like, I even said it to him because I had him on the radio. I'm all dunzo, right? The blacktail finally decides, oh, something's going on down there because he hears the pig squealing, and he's about 130 yards up the hill, 132 exactly. And I just start crawling. I think he thinks I'm a pig, you know? I'm just crawling. I start crawling to him, crawling to him, crawling to him. I get to 110 yards. I'm like, now he's like looking, kind of looking intently at me, but he's still broadside. He's not like, he doesn't do that where he turns straight and look,
yeah.
You know, he just has his head and turn looking down.
He's still vulnerable.
Yeah. So I'm like, screw it. I'm like, I can make this shot. But it's windy, you know, and I didn't take that into consideration. So I draw back. And I let it fly, and I literally, like, I just missed him. Like, he jumped up because, like, I think I grazed his brisket. He jumped straight up, and he was like, "What the hell's going on?" And he trotted towards me. 88 yards now. I'm like 88 yards, but now he's 88 yards, and he's facing straight at me. I'm like, "Screw it, last arrow." I only had four up there with me. I shot two into the pig, just launched one, you know. And I'm like, all right, here we go, 88. And then just as I shot, the wind blew, and it sailed harmlessly to the left. And I was like, you gotta be shooting me. I'm like, damn, man, that's two doable shots for me. Like, and I know people.
You're thinking you.
I know people are listening to this. Like, oh, 110 yards, whatever.
But, yeah. And you're thinking you had a pig down.
I'm like, I think I had a pig down. I'm about to kill a 120 inch 3x3.
Yeah.
Well, you so know. I watched you do a death run too. So I was like,
yeah.
I was like, go kill that blacktail. I just watched him do a death run.
But, so you settled for the pig.
No, couldn't find the pig. Looked up there for like an hour and a half.
With him. He was up there by himself.
I was up by myself. Then him and I go up there, and the next morning, we searched around for like 2 hours. I found the blood trail, and it dipped down into these madrones, and he followed. No, we just couldn't find it. We looked forever.
I'll tell you, those pigs, I've seen them do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It always hurts not to find them, but, man, I've seen them get shot with, you know, 30-06 and pretty much see the light on the other side of them and
just
run uphill, you know, and... Oh, man.
Unreal.
That always hurts.
It was pretty heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. It's just life. It's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I had last week I was over here. Last light, you know, they're popping out. Last 30 minutes of light. Mm-hmm. Hot days. Nice buck on the hill across from me. Right 200 yards. I'm in the wide open. He's in the wide open. Look around him. Don't see anything else. Make sure he wasn't with a bastard group. Seemed good. Got behind this tree. So I had to make my move then. Get some cover. Start going. Of course, you're walking through all this, you know, shit down here when it's leaves and every step is a crunch. And taking my time, but still trying to speed up. All of a sudden, peripheral, I see two bucks kind of run out of that general area. So there's the one I saw was a 3x3. Two that ran were 3x3s. And I'm thinking, shit, I think that was a buck.
Right.
That was stalking. But in the back of my head, I knew that I had my eye on them. You know, these something must have happened, you know. They must have not seen them, something.
Right.
They spook out of there. You know, I stay on my route towards the initial buck. And, you know, I'm just doubting myself.
Yeah.
First thing, you know, that you shouldn't do if you have enough confidence to know what you're going after, right? So I start doubting myself. And I got this gout shit I have to deal with. And so my finger, my left hand, which I'm holding my bow with, it's swollen like a sausage, hurting pretty bad. Just had a crazy flare-up that day. And, you know, now it's sun's really, you know, gone by then.
Right.
And I'm just doubting it. I'm thinking he's gone. All of a sudden, just pops up right in front of me. He was bedded. And I know it was the one I was initially stalking.
Right.
He gets up. I just see a silhouette. One of those things. He's close enough, and he just spotted me. Right in front of me. And, you know, I'm dealing with this doubt, this gout. And I said, I just got to let it go. You know,
right.
I said, he's about 50 yards. Put it on him. Goes right over him.
Oh, man.
Right. And I'm talking about just a beautiful buck. Beautiful buck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just you
heartbreaking.
See the silhouette.
Yep.
You know, I was doubting myself so much that I turned off my GoPro.
Yeah.
Did all that. And, you know, afterwards, it's just.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Doubt and gout.
Yep. Doubt and gout.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's the last thing you want to deal with.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I'll tell you what, that night I was, you know, you start, you know, this with, you know, these things that pop over.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
When you think it's done, but you still kind of go through it just to go through the motions, and then it almost always happens that the deer is still there.
It just kicks you right in the face.
Because you're like, oh, yeah. He's not there. I'm going to start walking loud or whatever. And then you're like, you're not stalking in. You're not like, you know.
And you'd think you'd learn.
I did that on a coos buck like
after like 85 times ago. Of doing that. You'd think you'd learn. And you just keep doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I get my heart broken every day that I hunt, I think.
Yeah.
Stupid, and it's always stupid stuff.
Yeah. Well, shit, last night.
Like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? It's so funny. I don't know.
Last night on that way up to that buck that I was stalking, I hit that ridge road, and I said to myself, you know what? I should kind of go a little slow and just kind of peek down. Like, no sooner that I finish having that thought with myself and saying, fuck, I got to get up there. We're going to run out of light if I don't. I busted those two banded pigs out of the freaking bottom right there. Because I started trucking again, you know. Just four-wheeling it up there. And
yeah. And you dissect everything that you might have done wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it's like, I was moving too fast, even though, you know, I'm beating the light and this limited cover, you still have to be aware of what's around them. You know, if they got a couple bucks behind them, they're going to spook, it's going to alert him, right? So that entire time, you still have to remember this could be a bunch of different things going on. When, you know, those things, I'm like, man.
I glassed you up this morning. You had four bucks about 100 yards from me, 150 yards from you.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I don't want to tell you that this morning when you caught me coming out of the shitter.
That heartbreak
we
were just talking about, I just felt it.
Oh, man. I was like, at first I thought it was you because I saw the GoPro on the top of his head. I'm like, what the hell's Charles doing down there?
Well, I was like,
because I thought he was going over there. I'm like, wait a second. No, he's got green fletching. I said, that ain't Charles. And no beard. Well, he does have a beard, but it's not.
Well, not
freaking not Grizzly Adams' beard over here, but.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about the other day when he was up glassing. Those pigs that you and I tried the double on. I hunt that area all the time. Unless I went specifically to that spot, I would have never known those pigs were there. I would have walked right past them 100 yards away. Oh, yeah, because
that little cut right there, you would be able to see
it. And I think about it all the time because when you have somebody glassing for you.
Yeah.
has there been a day where we haven't seen animals?
No.
But if I was just on my own,
that hasn't been a hunt that we haven't seen
animals. I would have seen those animals maybe half the time.
Yeah.
So it makes you think.
Oh, yeah.
Look over each little, you know, zigzag a little more when you're on your own. Look over each little canyon and all that, yeah, because they're there. You just can't, if you don't have a spotter, God. Yeah.
God. Oh, we changed his code name from God to Conscience.
Conscience?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's a little conscience talking.
I like Doug. Yeah, that's right.
We saw him walking across this morning, and we're like, how funny would that be? This is your conscience speaking. Go up the hill. Yep. Four deer.
I would be like,
you would have totally got him. You would have totally got to him, too. Because they were just over like a rise that they wouldn't have seen you coming. Yeah. If you would have got to that rise, you probably would have like a 50-yard shot.
So when I was
like, son of a bitch, man. And the worst part about it, I was going to go up there. I said, you know what? This morning, I just didn't have it in me. I had no gas this morning. I was like, I'm going to go up and I'm going to find a buck. I want to bet it. And then I'm going to go after it. Yeah. That's what I said to myself. No.
No, we didn't.
No. We found bucks.
Three bucks and a
yeah.
doe.
Yeah.
And then saw three other does on the way back.
Yeah. But, and where those bucks were at and where they originated from and where they went to, that was literally on the path that I take.
Yep.
Like literally, I mean, they would have walked to me.
That's the way it works. And
since I switched Zach's role from cameraman to guide.
To guide.
Yeah,
yes.
He would have been able to spot him and catch and tell the me and day. Tell me on the radio.
It's
the
first day.
It's funny about the conscience. So when you're hunting,
it wasn't really the first day, but
I don't know how it is for you guys, but like when you're hunting, there's always a voice in your head. You're just talking to yourself about who knows what.
Yeah.
You guys do that, right? That's not just me.
I was guide on Forkasaurus.
Yeah. That was there's a conversation happening, right? So when I was on the other side of the ranch and you guys have been.
When I glassed them up, I was like,
you guys have been talking each other in or whatever.
Uh huh.
I've just been leaving my earpiece in to listen to it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is kind of like having a. It's like I'm listening to a podcast.
A podcast.
While I'm hunting. So if I'm listening to you guys, there's no way I can help at all. Yeah. I'm on the other side of the ranch.
Have.
Well.
You piped in a few times. You're like, John, by the way, that's over there. Because you know the ranch and I know it.
When I say a description, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know how to explain to him so he knows what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So besides that, it's been fun just listening to it while I'm sneaking along hunting my own little thing. And I'm like, there's this whole little, it's either that or the voices in my head talking. Yeah. So I've chosen to listen to you guys. It is kind of like the conscience.
Yeah.
Oh, you definitely have that the entire time. You know, especially you still walk in or still hunting and, you know, you just remind yourself, okay, you know, I might have had a little misstep here, made some noise, but you know, it's a new little hill, you know, right over that, that horizon might be something there. You know, you don't know, but you're so quick to beat yourself up and say, you know, should just got busted out of here. I need to wait it out, but
it's a new opportunity every 100 yards.
Yeah.
And really the hardest part is it's always later on. You know, you screw up or you walk too fast or whatever 4, 5, 6 times, and then in your head you're like, oh, this next one isn't gonna have anything. I'm done walking slow
because
the other 7 that's the didn't one. Have anything. Mm-hmm. And then you look over on the 8th time and being stupid, walking up there and blow everything out.
And that's just the mental game.
Yep.
That's all that is.
You got to stay in the game.
Yeah. Because the deer could care less what you're thinking. They don't even know you're thinking.
Yeah.
They're just where the deer are where they are.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's it. If you're going to be out there, you got to be in hunt mode from start to finish. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do.
Yeah.
At least, you know, you might get lucky and, you know, things happen, but I think to be really good hunter, that just needs to happen the entire time you're there.
That's for sure. I've hunted this ranch a lot, and what I'm really excited about is I found a whole new area of this ranch that I didn't even know existed somehow. I mean, I knew it existed, I just never had gone to it. I didn't realize it was
Wonderland.
Yeah, Wonderland. I call it the Wonderland now. Now I have a loop that I can do, so I call it the Circle of Life. And it's honestly like I'm on a whole new ranch. Yeah. It's like I'm on a whole new place, and that's really cool. I'm excited about that.
Nice.
Wish we had another week.
Honestly, I wanted to go up there with you this evening, but or tomorrow morning.
We need a leaf blower for one thing.
It just doesn't, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a good two-person stalk around.
No.
even with my cat-like ninja skills. I'm like a freaking truck.
Like a puma.
Yeah,
puma. Yeah, no, it's freaking crazy loud.
Either that or you just not intimidating to the deer, because that blacktail just licking at you after that pig. I don't know. Oh, yeah.
That's the first time that ever happened to me. Usually they like they see me like from 300 yards away and they're gone.
It's interesting that I've heard people say that pigs and deer don't hang out.
No.
Seen the opposite, and that's
I've heard that too in Arizona. Oh, javelina and deer, you never see them together. Yeah. Blah blah blah. Yeah, I see it all the damn time.
That buck walked right into the pigs.
Yeah, he just walked right through them. According to him, I didn't see it.
Yeah, literally popped out, and he walked behind the tree where all the pigs were behind the tree as well, and then he popped out on the other side.
The first pig I ever got here was because deer told me where. I'm like, what are they blowing at? I know they're not blowing at me. They're not even looking at me.
Right, right.
And they're blowing at this boar. And then the boar thought that I was a deer.
Oh, shit.
That's why I could get close to it, and I got a shot. That was the first pig I ever shot on this ranch.
Nice.
Because of that, playing that game, you know, with them.
Since this is an archery-only ranch, I might just start walking around in a pig outfit.
I was thinking about
the cow decoy.
But the pig decoy.
No, there's cattle here, too. So that neighboring... That's part of HE Ranch right there.
There's actually going to be cows on this ranch.
Yeah, they move them here after they take them.
As well.
Up.
Yeah, but I think a little more often. I was just talking to the ranch manager. There's a new cowboy in town.
Yeah.
And he's, actually know who he is. He's got cattle on. He's going to have it in this place now too, I guess.
Do you know what, man? If that's the case, and if we draw this ranch next year, I will, I'm going to bring the cow decoy.
Yeah, for deer.
Because
I was thinking about that.
Yeah. I introduced it to him in South Dakota.
For antelope?
Do you have any idea how hard it is to film and hold a cow decoy
in the wind
at the same time?
Especially South Dakota is like 20 miles an hour all day long.
I'm like literally 25. Holding this giant ass cow that's...
He's filming and I'm trying to get a shot off.
Like shaking like this. And then I look over at him, and it's balls cold. Like,
yeah,
it's so cold. And I look over at him.
Balls get like, hot.
He's like trying to draw his bow back, but it was so cold, he was struggling.
I couldn't get my bow back. I can't draw my bow
and
back.
And then I finally
What were you guys
over,
hunting?
And he got his
deer, mule deer. That's when I shot that buck. That buck in November.
Bow,
okay.
He's finally at full
draw. So where we're gonna be?
Yeah.
And nice. I just dropped the cow decoy, and it just flops flat on the ground, and I just finally focus. Man, that was a total bitch.
75 yards, whack.
Filming and it worked pretty good on deer. Cow decoy there?
Because the cattle are there. They're literally all over the place.
Okay.
So, yeah, they see a you know, cow.
I've got the big red whatever.
That's what I have.
Montana.
Yep, that's what I'm using.
Decoy thing.
We're going to bring it.
We'll bring that for
when
sure.
When you come to South Dakota, we're going to bring it. Yep. Oh, I use that shit out of it. My buddy.
We called it Annie.
Yeah. Agnes. My buddy who's never killed a mule deer with a bow, we snuck him in. I mean, how close were we to that deer? 30 yards?
It was close. It was really close. You guys were wicked close.
Actually, I think at one point, I think I remember whispering to him, saying, oh, he's at 17 yards. Because he was popping over. He was looking down at us. And we're at this point, I'm sitting down with the decoy. And I'm like, he can't... Like, he fell apart, but it was, I mean, any other guy who had some, like, experience doing it would have made it happen.
Yeah.
For sure.
17 yards? Yeah. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Close encounters.
Oh, yeah, it was a great buck, too.
But anyways, you bring the cow decoy back here. That'd be smart.
I'm actually going to, I'm talking to this guy that makes those, like, Montana decoy type thing. I want to get a bigger black one, like. Something that, because that red one's not very big. It's big, but it's not really the size of a cow.
No, it's not.
And if you can get it, if you can get it closer to a life size cow,
it's gonna be a freaking hang glider, though.
It already is.
We were wanting a hang glider to get down.
I know, right? I was telling him that today. One guy, I'm like, damn, I wish I had a hang glider right now.
So levitation.
Levitation.
We've covered that. We want to have levitation added to our human traits that would make this hunt a lot easier. Hang gliding.
That was funny, man.
And teleporting. Then you wouldn't need a hang glider.
I turned him the other day. I'm like, God, I wish I could levitate right now. I wish I could hover right down there. Oh, how awesome would that be if you could just float around? That'd be sweet.
Be too easy.
That dude, heartbreak.
Chris Angel does it.
Out of love with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not. I just keep feeling stuff.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I got tired, man. I got tired. I wish I could have float, you know, float back down. It's coming down the hill. Kills me. Freaking knees.
Yeah, if you got problems with your
getting
knees
old
coming
sucks.
Down.
I got old man problems at too young of an age. But
I'm going to be 40 on Saturday.
40 on Saturday, joining the old man's group.
It will be. That's like sort of a halfway official old man.
It's like a light switch. You turn 40 and everything starts going wrong. No joke, man. I turned, like, the day I turned 40, I needed glasses.
Yeah, but you sprayed yourself, your entire body down with Dacron. So that added.
I think that sped it. You're probably actually like.
That added like 17
like
years.
75.
Yeah.
Probably.
That's one way to wish you happy birthday. Yeah. You're done, man. Two more months of young living.
Yep.
Yeah. Now these hills will. They'll beat you up. You know, they look like rolling hills, you know, until you get to some areas.
I don't think they look like rolling anything anywhere, man. Everything's steep and slippery. Like, you go to take a step and you slide back 3 feet. It's like...
Or he slides on his ass down the hill.
Oh, man.
Right in front of me. He just, like, steps. I just hear, oh, shit.
I lost... I ate shit at least 3 times on this hunt. The first one was that first night. After I stalked those 2 bedded bucks.
Yep.
And they were exactly in the same spot as they were last year on the last night of the hunt. Those Forkosaurus.
That's right. Yeah.
Forkosaurus and his three-point buddy.
Yep.
I was coming back down towards the creek, and I took a step, and I slid for 100 feet, man. Bounced off of every freaking rock. I got that nice... gash on my leg, and thank God I was wearing my Timberline pants, because those things are like got padded butt cheeks and whatnot, and knee pads and all that. That was rough.
At least you didn't knock yourself out this year, though.
Yeah, last year I knocked myself out cold. I'm literally the same. I didn't tell you this story.
No, you did. But it just cracks me up.
The same stalk.
You're as accident prone as I am.
The same stalk. I already had came down, and I was coming back up the other side, and you have to strap your bow to your pack and use your hands to climb up. There's no, you're not getting up it with just your feet. You got a 4x4 it, you know. And I'm climbing up this thing, and I like take a step, and I go to reach for like a root or something. And the ground just gives way, and I fall forward, and my bow whacks me in the back of the freaking head. And I must have slid down a little bit. I was probably only out for like 10 seconds, because I don't feel like it was, because you were talking to me.
No,
but he was talking to me. Like, oh, he was talking to me, and the conversation was still relevant when I came to. Like, you know, like I didn't lose much.
There was a brief pause.
Yeah. There wasn't.
And some gibberish.
All I know is
and some gibberish. Want
2 Big Macs.
All I know is I woke up in a freaking patch of poison oak. I had slid into a patch of poison oak, and I went home. I had poison oak on my arms, my face, my dick. I mean, it was fucking everywhere. It was everywhere. It was rotten. Poor Jake, too. Jake got poison oak everywhere last
year.
Did he? Yes.
Oh, I didn't remember
and it
that.
Went and it went systemic on him, because he got it in his eye.
Ooh.
And it was like in his, yeah. Yeah, he got it. He got it pretty freaking rotten, too, last year. And then I finally got rid of it, and a month and a half later, I get poison ivy or 2 months later. Oh, wait, this is July, so no, shit, it was a little more than 3 months, but it took me forever to get rid of it. Yeah, so it was about 2 months. I got poison ivy in Missouri. Misery. Yeah. Yeah, that was a miserable hunt, man. It was hot as balls in October, and we had a full moon. I did not see a single deer.
No kidding.
No, or I should say a single buck, because I had does. I could have smacked, like...
Yeah.
I honestly, I wish I had my recurve with me because I would have shot a doe. I had a doe at 15 yards just feeding broadside forever. Just eating all these.
One of those acorns. Lovely states where you can shoot does.
Yeah. Love that.
And mountain lions, if they're there.
Yeah.
In Missouri? But you probably
could. I've heard of, actually. In Illinois, there's been mountain lions in Illinois, so yeah. Missouri's not too far off that. I can imagine.
So what do we have left? We have
last tonight. Night. We have tonight. I thought you meant we haven't talked about. We didn't talk about last night's stalk that I almost threw my bow on the ground and stomped off like a little girl.
My bad.
I'm taking my toys and going home. Oh, man.
You just get so close. You run an hour and a half. Stalk, and then it just.
It was just miscommunication. We thought we were looking at the same thing, and we weren't.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's, well, you've never been to the ranch before whatsoever, so it's, that's why when I'm up there listening, I'm like, God, I know exactly what they're talking about. Like, I know right where you are.
Yeah. And what, exactly.
You know what I mean, but. Once you're down in there, if you're from one perspective and you're looking at it and somebody else,
everything looks different.
It looks completely
different. Yeah, people don't understand that. Unless you've done
that. I swear there was no bucks around me this morning.
Yeah, right?
I looked at everything.
Yeah. You wouldn't have been able to see them. Yeah, but that's why you would have been able to get them. Because you would have had to go straight up and like just crest over. And they were just on the other side of that.
Yeah.
What were they? Forks?
No, those two good ones.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I grabbed my phone later after this.
But yeah, you phone scoped it.
The hardest part is because I've never walked any of it.
Oh yeah.
But now that I've walked like where John, where you and I went and saw those pigs, if I see something up there, man, it's like game on.
Right.
Because
I showed you that route too. That I would have got that bug.
I could say, hey, you see that dead tree that's right alongside the road that I can't glass.
Yeah.
But I know is there now.
Yeah.
Go to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like. Man, it's like night and day difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's different.
All about the intel.
Let me show you the two bucks I saw last week.
That buck last night was about 30, 40 yards away from where the buck was bedded that morning, the first morning that we hunted
last
here.
Last year,
yep. Mm. And that's the boulder that I can see originally when I came through the trees. I said, hey, is it that one? Is there one boulder up here directly above me? Do I need to go to that? And we weren't.
And when you said, so here's what I took that, because remember I first said he's between you and that boulder. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm looking at the rock right above me. So as soon as you said right above me, I was thinking like, here you are. I was thinking like directly straight up the hill, not kind of at a, you know what I mean? And that's why I was like, oh, well, we're looking at different rocks then, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. It's not the end of the podcast. That's the end of part one. I just want to thank Sneak Tech, Sneak Boots, and Phoenix Shooting Bags for making this possible. So go check them out. And if you want to catch the end of this podcast and see how we end up, check out part two. So, the boys over at Triple Threat Performance and I are going to be putting on a Hunt Fit session on August 4th at 8 a.m. at the Triple Threat Performance facility in Scottsdale. 8 a.m. August 4th. The class size is going to be limited, so if you want in on it, you need to RSVP me. Either hit me up on my Instagram or Facebook, or go to the blog, johnstallone.me, and send me an email. There'll also be some information on the class on my blog. So if you go to johnstallone.me, just search it, you'll find it. It's going to be a good class. Going to do a lot of cool stuff, help you learn some new movements possibly, take a look at the way you're doing things now. And who knows, it might be a program you want to get into and you'll be working out alongside me. So we'd love to see you there. So please RSVP, tell a friend, Triple Threat Performance, August 4th, 8 a.m. Thank you.